as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O Lord, again this morning. As humble as we know how, thanking you, Father, for all your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful morning, for all your blessings and goodness that you bestow upon us. We thank you, Lord, for these that are bowed with us. Lord, you know our need today. We ask you, dear Father, to bless and help us one more time as we gather together in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd be exalted among us this morning. Lord, that in return that you might touch the hearts of your children this morning. May we rejoice in the hope and in the glory of God. Lord, for just a little while this morning, I pray, Father, that you'd help us to rejoice. And Lord, that our joy might be full in you. We ask you, Lord, now that you'd go with us, anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Lord, I pray this morning that you'd revive the hearts of your children. We ask you now to go with us in this service and give us the words that we need to say. And what you do for us this morning, we'll be careful to thank you. And we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. I believe the Bible is applicable to every situation. I believe the Bible can be used as life to help us to know how we ought to live while we're here on earth. Somebody said one time, if there wasn't a God, if there wasn't a heaven, if there wasn't a Jesus, that still the Bible's the best way that anybody could live by, this book. And I believe that. I believe, and oftentimes in preparing for messages, preparing as we study the Bible, preachers are always looking for some application that the text has that applies to us. I thought about this morning as we sang that song, The Royal Telephone. Probably not many folks, or some folks here, now a lot of you are older, you wouldn't know. Do you remember the old dial telephone? Do you remember that? If you touched it much at all and you had to take the line out of the wall, you had to be careful because if it rang while you were working on that line, you'd get shocked. Do you remember that? And you have to watch that current on the line. It'll shock you. Yeah. And those things. And you remember the party line? You remember how the party line was? And you'd pick up the phone and there'd be somebody on the other side and you'd have to wait and wait and wait. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's probably some people here this morning that has never experienced the old-time telephone. And when we sing that song, The Royal Telephone, a lot of our folks will sit back and say, what? We got a cell phone. Can we change the words of that song? Talking about a cell phone, we can call him anytime going down the highway with those old telephones. And so it's hard this day to apply the royal telephone with something that is physical to something that's spiritual because all the people don't know. But this book applies to everybody. Amen. Amen. Every situation, everything in this Bible. Many folks today don't even deal with telephone. They deal with Facebook. How many of you got a Facebook? Raise my eyes so I can look at them. Look at that. How many of you got a computer? We have a Facebook account for Antioch Baptist Church, right? Right? Is it on Facebook on there? And so the way we connect in our day to be applicable is get on the Facebook and see what's going on here at Antioch Baptist Church. We have our name and a website that has the sermons that are preached here every Sunday. Some of you may not even know that or how to get on that, but we have that. Those applications that can apply to all of us if we'll just connect into that. This Bible is a connecting. Sometimes when the preacher preaches, he finds an application. How does this book apply to me? How in 2017, how does this old book that's been written apply to my life? This book has never changed from generation to generation. It stays the same. It doesn't change. And it's applicable for everyone. Human nature never changes. God didn't in the midstream decide to make modern people. He didn't do that. We're still the same old nature as Adam was when he came, when God made him and he began to dwell on the earth. We're all the same. We're all descendants from Adam. And we have that same nature as Adam has. We might puff it up and we might dress it up, perfume it, but we're still that old Adamic a man. And so today that this book never changes, and so the nature of man never changes. That's why it applies in every generation. And so what's trying to happen this morning is preachers are trying to find some way to connect or to plug in to a young generation that this book can be applied to their lives. But I'm going to tell you, we're way too late. God has already got this thing connected to our hearts. Amen. And so it's all applicable. Sometimes when we, whenever we're preparing for a message, sometimes we not only look for that application, but we look for that education. And we try to educate the people with the Word of God. Isn't it amazing that you can sit here from the time you're born into this world until you're 70 or 80 years old, and you look back and say, well, I just don't know much about the Bible. That's an amazing statement to me. How do you do that when you sit under the preaching of the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God and never have any education in the Bible? There's something wrong there. Amen. So we try, our preachers, as they prepare, they try to find somewhere to educate in the Word of God that it might help you. Thus is called pastor teacher. And so we not only do we preach the message in the Bible, but we teach the Word of God. You remember what the Apostle Paul said in the, or Timothy said to the, in the qualifications of a pastor is to be apt to teach, and that he might teach the Word of God, and that we'd leave here with an awesomeness of the awareness of the God of the Bible. Amen. That we could walk out of here and say, wow, what a Savior. Amen. That we serve. And we didn't realize he was like that. And when we look at the Bible, the Bible not only touches the things that are down here on earth, but it touches the things that are up yonder in heaven, and it connects the both of them. Amen. Sometimes in the Bible, it speaks of words that are there, and some of them, our carnal mind, whenever we look at the definition of them, we see the carnal side of it, and there's nothing wrong with that. After all, we do have two natures, and one of them is a natural man and a spiritual man, and the spiritual man is trying to explain to the natural man the things of heaven, for the carnal man is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. And so this morning, I want to talk to us for just a few minutes, if God will help me, out of the text, out of the book of John, beginning with verse number 12. Stand with me. Stand with me. Just honor the Bible just a minute. I believe I read this a while ago, but I want to read it again because I'm going to go through some education as well as some practicing of the Word of God. Now, I want you to look at it under a different light this morning, and like you were students of the Bible and reading the textbook, and we're going to dig into it, and I'm going to preach, and for a little while I'll teach out of the Word of God, if God will help us. That doesn't mean I'm a smart man. It takes the Holy Ghost, amen, to find the application, and it takes the Holy Ghost to find the education. The Bible said much people, or in verse 12, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, and when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, he said, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, has set thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, the King cometh sitting on an ass's colt. And you can be seated for just a few minutes this morning. And I want to talk to us, if God will help me, behold your King. I want to talk to us this morning about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this is an unusual text. It isn't anything like what we would look at as being the reign of a king. And you remember in the Bible, when you look at the city of Jerusalem, sometimes the Bible's talking about the city of Jerusalem over yonder across the ocean, over there where the people of Israel are gathered together in a pile of rock heaps. And that city has been there fact of the matter is, I want to think it may be one of the oldest cities in the whole world. Isn't that amazing? And it still is operating today. They've been a lot of cities that have come and they're wiped off the face of the earth. And several of them, when you look at the archaeologists, have to dig them up and they find that those cities are there. And it's amazing that they find those cities today. But not Jerusalem. Jerusalem has always been there. There has been no other city on the face of the earth that has been in a war anymore than the city of Jerusalem. All through the centuries, that city had been fought. It's been tried. It's been tried to be done away with. Tried to be wiped off the face of the earth. Benjamin Netanyahu said that those Muslims overseas in Iran and Iraq and Egypt and Syria and all those places, that they're trying their best to come up with a nuclear weapon that they might annihilate all of Israel and blow Jerusalem off the planet. Isn't that something? How they're still trying to fight that city at Jerusalem that's there. Sometimes the Bible talks about the city of Jerusalem as that physical city. And then sometimes the Bible talks about that Jerusalem as the city of God. You remember in the New Testament, the Bible talks about that city that John saw coming down out of heaven, dressed up like a bride meeting her bridegroom. You remember that text? And the city of God. And I like that thought, don't you? How John called it New Jerusalem. Amen. As contrary or as contradict or different than the Jerusalem that's down here. This is the New Jerusalem that he talks about, that comes down out of heaven and set upon that new earth that John said he saw as it come down, the new heaven and the new earth. Imagine that. Amen. Imagine God's people gathered in the New Jerusalem. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a place described like none other. Amen. The foundations, 12 foundations. Isn't that something? And gates of pearl and streets of gold and mansion on high. What a city. John said, I saw it coming down out of heaven. And then sometimes he uses the word Jerusalem that describes the church of the living God. Amen. And our identity has been the church of the living God, has been Zion, Jerusalem. And this morning, as we see the Lord Jesus coming in, how the Bible tells us as him being king, how the Bible said on the next day that the people were come to the feast, that they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Amen. The king is coming. Look in chapter number 11, verse number 55 and 56 and 57. How the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. And he says, then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves. They stood in the temple. What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? He said, now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. And then in chapter number 12, he's moving and he's making himself go towards Jerusalem. Some of them said he's not going to come. Some of them said he is going to come. Somebody said, we hadn't found him yet. We're gathering together at Jerusalem at the day of the feast. They were looking for their king. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not the king. Amen. He's the king. I'm not the head of the church. He's the head of the church. Amen. And so now they're looking in their minds. They're not seeing what you and I see this morning. They're seeing on the carnal side. But we see on the spiritual side. And you remember what Pilate said when he brought Jesus to be crucified. They brought him up there after he had been beaten. And he was standing there. And they and Pilate looked at him and said, "Behold, your king." You say this is your king. And the crowd said, "Crucify him, crucify him." And I tell you, when we look at the Lord Jesus this morning as a king, we're not looking at him as being king of this world. We're looking at him being king in a spiritual kingdom. Amen. The church of the living God. And his kingdom, he said, is not of any observation of this world. You cannot see it with the natural eye. He said, in order for us to see the kingdom of heaven, we must be born again. And so we have to have a spiritual eye to see this city called Jerusalem. Amen. This place that God calls the church, the dwelling place of God. You remember in the Old Testament days, and King Solomon built a temple in Jerusalem. You know why he built that temple there? So God could dwell in that place. And when we talk about that heavenly new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, we see the Lord and dwell in a city of God in heaven, in Jerusalem. But then when we see Jerusalem as the church of the living God, we see the real dwelling place of God. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And the place where God dwells in us today, and it's the fact that he's in right in the middle of his church inhabiting his kingdom. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm a part of the city of God. Amen. And so we find him here this morning as he comes into this city. You find, first of all, as they recognize his authority in this city, they recognize this as being king. He said, "Blessed is the king of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosannas," they began to cry out. Now, the Lord is coming. It's an unusual thought, because you would think that the kings would come riding in Jerusalem on a white horse. Amen. We see that later on in the book of Revelation. We see that white horse of victor, and the one riding on that white horse, his vestures being dipped in blood, and it's written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so when you think about a king, he didn't come into this world to set up an earthly kingdom, but rather a spiritual. Amen. And so we're finding in the text this morning as of these Jews. Now, they didn't understand this. We're looking back at this, and they were in the middle of this, and as they began to acclaim him as their king of the Jews, he cries out. They cry out, "Hosannas," and that word literally means save. Oh, save. And adoration for their salvation as they began to worship. But they wasn't looking for this king to save their soul. They were looking for this king to save who they were and the people they were from war and from fightings, and would keep them safe and would feed and lead and guide them. But the Lord never intended to come in that manner. Amen. But he come to seek and to save that which is lost. And listen, the Bible said as they cried out, "Our king has come." And I've got good news for you. Amen. How the victor is among us, and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords indwells in us this morning. Amen. Amen. Now, he says here in the text, he's king. Now, Pilate didn't believe that. Some of the Jews didn't believe that. At crucifixion day, they didn't believe that. How they did not see the authority of the kingship of Jesus. I'm going to tell you this morning, he's my king. Amen. We're ruled by no one but Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible tells us they cry out, "Hosanna." You know, they put the palm trees out on the way, and he rides in on the back of a donkey as he comes in. And they not only do they recognize his authority, but they recognize his humility in the text. He comes humble. He comes humbly, as it was prophesied in the Old Testament. "Behold, your king cometh riding on an ass." And I tell you, that is about as humiliating for a king to show up. I think about it. I know this is a little bit humorous, but I'm going to say it anyhow. A lot of you watched Gunsmoke for a lot of years, them old Western shows, and you remember, who was it? Was it Matt Dillon and all that? And then here come that
One fellow that rode that mule everywhere he went, that old long-eared mule, Festus, he'd get on that mule, he'd kick that old mule, and he'd always go in behind Matt Dillon, and then he'd that old mule come, and you'd always have this little sense of what he's doing there. Why is he there? Some of you are looking at me like, I never have watched Gunsmoke. Well, just pass that up for just a minute. How did he come in humility? Jesus, now, as they're looking for that victor ride into Jerusalem for the feast, he comes riding on a donkey. He imagined that. Far as I know, I don't know how tall that little rascal was. But it couldn't have been much tall, but his whole legs probably nearly reaching the ground if they're not. And that little old donkey, I believe one rider said, never had been rode before. And they brought him through there, they put the palm trees down, and they said, behold, your king come. Amen. I'm telling you, he come the first time in his humility. But I tell you, the next time you see him, amen, you'll see him as victor. Amen. And you not only see him in his humility here, but you see him in his sovereignty coming one day after a while. There's no other king like him. Woo! Hallelujah! When the church gets their eyes fixed on our king, it'll be like no other day. Behold, your king coming. Some of them probably said, is this it? Some of them probably said, is this all of it? I can imagine what the Roman soldiers must have felt like as their presence were there. And they were told to let it alone. They wasn't going to bother nothing. They wasn't going to. It was at a time when there was what's called peace of Rome. Rome was at peace and with the Jews. There was no fighting amongst them. And the Romans would let the Jews do their little old thing, whatever it is they're doing. They'd let them do it. And you can imagine what they must have felt like while they were watching all this going on. Here rides Jesus on a donkey, and they're having this big to-do. Behold, this is the king's coming. The king's coming. And he comes through the gates of Jerusalem with that old donkey, and here he comes. And all them Jewish soldiers are standing there with their shields and this right here looking and just laughing it up. They're laughing it up. I tell you, let them laugh. Let them laugh. Because one of these days when the eastern sky is split, we'll see him for who he is. Amen. Hallelujah. Dressed in white. Woo! Amen. I tell you, when you see him in his humility and then you see him in his sovereignty, I'm going to tell you, it will shed light. Amen. On all different worlds. Behold, your king. Then the Bible said Jesus, when he had found a young ass set thereon, as is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Yeah. Well, isn't that something? They thought he was really going to be somebody. Yeah. And he comes in, and he says, don't be afraid. Yeah. Don't be afraid. He said, your king's here. He may not look like you thought he'd look. Yeah. He may not be riding what you thought he'd ride. Yeah. But you hang on. He said, you don't have to be afraid. As those Roman soldiers began to laugh, and I'm satisfied maybe some Jewish people began to laugh. And as they, the unbelievers of the Jewish community. And he said, these things understood not his disciples at the first. They didn't understand these at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, they looked back and remembered that things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. When they saw his authority and seen his humility, they saw his purpose. They saw his purpose. The king come not to condemn or to tear up, but he come to save that which is lost and to raise the dead. Amen. We were all dead in trespasses and sin. When the king enters, now When this is known as the triumphant entry. It's what this is known as. And in a triumphant entry, the king has chains and ropes as they tie the other kings of the other nations, and they tie them in shackles and tie their feet on chains, and they're pulling them with those horses as they bring them into the victing city, the city that wins the battle. And they yank those kings, and all the city begins to applaud. You remember in the Old Testament days, it was said in the days that the kings went out to battle. You remember in David's day, David stayed home and had an affair with Bathsheba, should have been out on the battlefield, because it was the time where kings went out to battle, and the kings of the nations were there, and the one who won the battle would take the other kings. They didn't want to leave them kings out there on the battlefield dead, or they'd like to drag them through humiliation and bring them right through the city. That declared that the king was victor. Amen. Amen. Well, then, that the natural, when we look at that natural side, but let me tell you, in heaven, it's a different story. You're seeing the victor. You're seeing the victor, and you see me tied on and chained, brought in, as heaven's angels are all gathered side by side, and Christ Jesus, our Lord, is leading. Where I once was king of my own earthly domain, I surrendered to the Lord of glory. Yeah. Amen. And he took me under captivity. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. I can hear those angels as we go through the city of God. Of praising the Lord. Hosanna! Hosanna! Adoration for the salvation of God's people as we stroll through the city of God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, as we see him and see his purpose one day, that we all find ourselves victory, find our victory in Jesus our Lord. That's why they were so thrilled as they saw this king on the natural side looking at it. And they saw this king, and they're looking for his purpose. And they said this was written, and said, for this cause the people all met him. For what cause? For the cause of raising Lazarus from the dead. Yes. You remember that? They heard of that.